Last week, we also started a series called Countercultural. And, you know, in this series, we're just looking into this truth that transformed people live transformed lives. Transformed people live transformed life. Now, because Jesus Christ actually challenges us that we should live differently, he calls us to love him and to love others in a very radical way. And because you have been transformed by him, and therefore he calls you to live the way he wants you to live. You know, so this is a very, Christianity is a very radical way of living. You know, when Jesus Christ came in this time, he came at a time when the Romans were ruling. So he came under the Roman oppression. And when he was saying, you know, things like, you know, love your enemies, which we're going to talk about today. When, you know, he was, you know, telling people to live a certain way than the normal way, it was radical, and it is still radical, even up to now. Jesus calls us to live radical lives, to turn away from our idols and to ask him to help us live the way he wants us to live. So today we're going to be talking about you know, the love of enemies, the love of enemies. Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples and says, you know what, you got to love your enemies. And this is radical as well. It's not natural. It's a different way of life. So we are in the book of Matthew. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. So I'll ask you if you can to stand up as we read the word of God together this morning. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who you love, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Lord Jesus, we come before you humbly, for we know that you're calling us to a different way of living, your way. God, I pray as we just dive in your word, Lord, that you would speak truth to our hearts. But more so, I pray that we would be willing to respond to your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Love your enemies. You know, this is kind of one of the hardest things for me that Jesus says. One of the hardest, you know, commands for me to obey. When Jesus Christ says, you know, love your enemies, because it is hard. In fact, actually, I would say it's not only hard, even though we like to make it hard, it is impossible in our own human effort to love our enemies. But Jesus Christ is calling us to live, you know, in a different way, in a very radical way. And Christianity is kind of like a different way, you know, of living. You know, different from any other religion. And Jesus Christ says, you love your enemies. Now, the definition of an enemy is a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. A person who is actively opposed or hostile to something or someone. In the Urban Dictionary, there's this word called frenemy. Have any of you used this word, frenemy? Yeah? And I just learned it this week. I thought I was young. Probably I'm not, you know, frenemy. So just kind of like in simple terms, if you're wondering, is this person my friend or my enemy? You have a frenemy. That's what it is. You know, they're your friend. But at the same time, you know, if you look closer, you also see that they are your enemy as well. So you hang out with them, but you hate, you know, either certain things that they do to you or they are doing around you or the way they treat you, but you still love them somehow. You have a frenemy. That's what it is. But, you know, who is your enemy? Oh, who is your frenemy? You know, for some people, this is an easy question to answer, you know, because you know who your enemy is. You know somebody that you resent, somebody that you cannot stand. You know, it's easy for you maybe to know this is my enemy. But for most people, it's not. It's not easy. And because, you know, maybe we are too complicated, that even though we have certain people in our lives that we stop talking to, we stop hanging out with, we somehow do not really call them as enemies. You know, even though we say, you know, I have beef with that person. But, you know, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. And I think often, you know, our enemies can sometimes be, you know, situational. Like you have just a situation where in this, you know, moment you're hating this person and you don't like what they're doing. And, you know, it brings that feeling. And this happens, you know, when I'm, you know, driving on the road and then there's some guy who just begins to overtake at a place that they should not be overtaking and they know it themselves. And they're overtaking me. And I just have a wish in that moment. I wish a truck is coming from the opposite direction. I don't want them to die, but I still they want the truck to scrape their vehicle so they know what they're doing in that single moment. A minibus driver, you know how they're just pulling into the on the road? Now, with the minibus drivers, I have to say that they're kind of like frenemies. You know, you have a love-hate relationship, more especially if you are in the minibus. Because, you know, if a minibus driver is doing some crazy things on the road and you are in the minibus, like they're, you know, driving on the side of the road where there is no road at all, they're going and, you know, driving forcefully, pushing their way in, when you're in there, you're like, yes, come on. Let's do this. Let's push on. Let's get there quickly. You do it. Yeah? But also, if he's just like sitting for hours waiting for custom people to come in his minibus and you've been there for an hour, you hate him. Frenemy. Eskom. I know, right? Yeah? You know the feeling when the power just goes off? Eskom. You know, right now we're running on generator. And ask them, sometimes in certain situations, can be our enemy. The immigration. I know some of you are getting your TPs and, you know, you apply and you pay up and they tell you, oh, your papers are missing. You have to start all over again. You're like, what? Or maybe you're going there to get your passport and they say, come after a month. You go get your passport after a month. They say, come next week. And then you come back, come next week. And then 6 months later, come next week. If you know what I mean. In an instant, you can have maybe if you're a student, a fellow student, maybe who teases you and you hate them for it. Or someone who has a different political views. You know, you don't want to associate with somebody who has, you know, political views and you see them, you know, as an enemy. You know, we belong to the movement. No, we belong to this. We belong to that. Or someone who supports a different football team. It happens a lot in soccer when, you know, you support a different team, but the favorite player of the other team that you don't like gets injured. You know, instead of feeling, you know, sorry, you're like, yeah, he is injured now. He's injured. We'll see what will happen to him. We'll see what will happen to that team now. And we forget that footballers are human beings, isn't it? But maybe on a more serious note, maybe you have been hurt by a manipulative girlfriend. Or maybe you've been hurt by an abusive boyfriend. Or maybe a spouse speaks harshly towards you. And it hurts you, and you have just this moment of like, I wish this. In that moment, you have an enemy. Some of you, when you're coming over to church, there was something that was happening in the car. But when you come, you're like, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Maybe you've been hurt by people who gossip about you, and you know them, that they've been talking about different things about you. Or a colleague at work who is always against you in meetings. You know, you bring your own idea and they trump it. You bring your own idea and they smash it. No, we cannot do that. And they're always just on, you know, opposing you, putting you on the edge. Maybe you cannot stand seeing the person who cheated on you. Or a teacher who spoke bad of you. Or someone who abused you. Or a boss who fired you. And our response, you know, to these times when we feel this enmity in us towards people is to hate them. But Jesus Christ has a different way of responding when we have an enemy, or even just in an instant, when we feel remorse, and not only that, but actually we feel hurt and we want to get even. Jesus Christ has a different way. So he says, you have heard it said this way, but, you know, and in that moment he's saying there is an alternative way, there is a different way that you should respond, that he should live, and this way is actually countercultural. It's not natural. It's a different way. So he says, you know, I have a different way. In fact, this is the better way that you should respond. You should respond. Now, this is hard to the people that were hearing these things because, you know, there were Jews that were under the oppression of Romans. And, you know, they were not free at all. They were being oppressed. They would not do things that they just want to do things. But they were being oppressed. And Jesus Christ says, you know, love those enemies. Love them. But also, there's a rumor that I heard that sometimes when a Jew would see a Gentile or somebody who does not believe in the God of Israel, if he's drowning, a Jew would just pass by and not save them because they don't belong to us. They don't belong to the kingdom. But Jesus Christ says, no. You got to respond differently. You got to do things differently. So I'm calling you to love your enemies. Love your enemies. So I just wanted to look at kind of like three things why we should love our enemies. And I think number one is that, you know, when we love our enemies, that love changes us. Love changes us. And the second reason that why we should love our enemies is because we become more effective witnesses when we love our enemies. And the third reason I want us to look at is that the love of enemies is our response to God's love for us. The love of enemies is our response to God's love for us. That with the first one, love changes us. And verse, 40, let's just read that scripture again. 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in that verse, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? If you only love the people that are good to you, then what good is it? Everybody can do that. That's easy to do. It's easy to love people that are doing lovely things for you and towards you. If people are doing lovely things, it's easy to love them. But Jesus Christ is saying, do not love people because they are doing lovely things, but love people because God is doing lovely things in you. Love people because God is doing lovely things. things in you. When you love other people, that love changes you. It changes you. You're not the same. Because he says, you know what, one way that we love other people is that we pray for them. Now, you cannot be praying for an enemy and not be changed by God. You cannot. Because when you are praying for your enemies, for that, for you to take that step of praying for them, that in itself is humility. Because when you're hurt, you want to get even. You want to see bad things happen to the very person who hurt you. You want to get even. And you gotta be so humble to let that go, huh? You gotta be so humble. And that experiencing that humility when we are laying it down at the feet of Jesus Christ, that in itself we're experiencing the change in our hearts. The change in our hearts. That dependency on God. Because when you say, I will love my enemies, to be honest, you cannot do it yourself. You cannot do it in your own power. You need God's help. And therefore, you have a dependency on God to help you love your enemies. Now, that dependency on God changes you. Changes your attitude towards people. Changes your attitude towards yourself, even towards God. So you cannot take these loving steps of loving other people and you're remaining the same, but you are actually being changed. So loving others is the work that actually God is doing in you. The very act of loving your enemy is the evidence of God's work in you. That very act is the evidence of God's work in you. So love changes us. And the second reason is that we become more effective witnesses through the love of our enemies. And we know that in John chapter 13, 35, Jesus Christ says, you know what, they would know that you are my disciples when you love one another. But here he's saying, actually, you know what, you're not just loving one another, but you're even loving those people who don't love you, those people that hate you. You're loving those people. Now, when you love the people that you consider to be an enemy or enemies, you become a more effective witness. Just in the story of Jean Valjean. So this is the story of Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean is like the main character in this story, and he was a prisoner for 19 years because he stole bread and he wanted to feed his sister's son. So they put him in prison. And he had a number, 24601. 24601. That was kind of like his number. And the prison ward would be calling him by his name. And he's like, no, my name is Jean Valjean. But no, he didn't call him by his name. So he's kind of like released from prison. And, you know, he actually meets these guys that beat him off. So what we're seeing here, they beat him up. He's just laying around in the streets. And this bishop comes along and he picks him up and said, you know what? What we have, you know, is for us to share. So come on along. So he takes him in his own house and, you know, gives him food. And at night, you know, Jean Valjean decides to steal from the bishop. So he steals and he runs away. And as he was out there, the police, you know, they find him and they bring him back because they realize that actually, you know, these things are so expensive and we know where they belong to, and they belong to the bishop. So they bring him over to the bishop and they said, Bishop, here, we have found your things because we found this guy, and they beat him up as well. And he said he was telling a lie that you actually gave him these things. And the bishop says, yeah, I did. But actually, you know, you forgot these things. So he gives him two candlesticks and say, you know, take them with you because I've rescued your soul for God. After he stole, you know, things from the bishop, He got caught and he comes back. And the priest had the right to get him arrested. He had the right to throw him back in jail. And if he got 19 years for stealing bread, what about for stealing these expensive things? Yeah? He's going to spend, you know, all of his life in prison. And the bishop had the right to say, oh, yeah, he actually stole from me. Lock him up. Look at this man. You know, I was doing good things. I gave him a house to stay. You know what? I gave him food. I helped him. I found him just lying around. And I took him in and gave him a nice bed and took care of him. But this is the way he repays me. So, yeah, he's an evil person. Throw him in jail. And that's kind of like the normal thing. That's the natural thing. But plot twist, what does he do? He said, actually, you know what? I will treat him in the way that he does not deserve to be treated. So I will love him. And he gives him whatever he took, says, you know what? You can have that. But actually, I'm going to even give you more. Because otherwise, you might be thinking that I'm doing this, to make you feel bad, that you take whatever you took from me. But actually, you know what? I'll give you more. And before we read this scripture, when Jesus Christ talks about when somebody takes your coat, give them your garment as well. And this is what's happening in this story. Because the reason why Jesus Christ was saying those things, or even like, you know, when they slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Because you say when they slap on the right cheek, yeah? So it means you have to slap them with the back of your hand. To slap them on the right cheek, isn't it? But he says, turn the other way. It means what you're telling them is like, treat me. Because when they slap you with the backhand, they're treating you lesser than a human being. So he's saying, you know what? Treat me better. Slap me in the right way. Treat me better as a fellow human being. You know, so there's dignity involved. The same thing happens. You know, when they take, your coat, also let them take your garment. And then when they see you naked, they'll see that, why am I treating this person differently? So he says, there is dignity. I have dignity. And treat me as a person who has dignity. And that's what he's doing. You know, I've given you these things, but you know what? I'll give you more because I'm treating you just like an equal. I'm treating you just like an equal. And that changes him, because if you, if you watch further, you will see that, Van Jean, he's actually changed. He's actually changed. So he says, you have heard it that he was saying, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, when you read this passage, it says, you have heard it, love your enemies and hate. Love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That part of hate your enemies is not actually there. But Christ is actually speaking into, you know, the way we respond naturally. You know, in our practice, you know, you can love your neighbor. But to love your enemy is unnatural. But that's what we do. You know, we hate our enemies. We hate our enemies. But when we love our enemies, we become better witnesses, because then people begin to see and say, wow, you know, what type of God is this person following that he actually forgives me even though I did these things towards him or her? What is happening with this person? I read a story of Corrie Ten Boom. She's a remarkable woman who risked her own life to save the lives of others during a Holocaust. She worked in her family's business as a watchmaker, and after the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands, Ten Boom and her family became involved with the resistance, providing shelter for Jews. A forced wall was built in her bedroom to provide a hiding place for those seeking shelter. On February 28, 1944, the Gestapo, on the basis of information obtained through an informant, raided the Ten Boom home and the family was arrested. Those who were hiding in the home at the time were able to avoid detection and escape. Sadly, Tembom's father died a few days later after the arrest. Tembom and her sister Betsy were deported to a concentration camp in 1944. And it was at this camp that Betsy, her sister, died in the same year. And later that month, Tembom, by the grace of God, escaped death herself when she was mistakenly released from the camp due to an error that had happened. So she was rescued. This fantastic story. And her release came just days before all women her age were killed. So while at a church service in Munich, she came face to face with one of the former prison guards at this concentration camp. And Tembom had just delivered a message of God's forgiveness. And the former guard, not recognizing her, asked Tembom personally for forgiveness for the atrocities that he had committed. And Tembom struggled with herself and found that she could not forgive him. But she quickly prayed and found the strength to accept his extended hand. So she forgave him. The very same person that was responsible probably for, you know, killing her dad and killing her sister. And now she has to forgive him. She has to love him. She has to love him in a different way. So instead of being bitter, instead of holding resentment and bitterness in her heart, she prays to God for God to help her to love this enemy, to love this enemy. And she becomes a better witness in that instant. Because imagine if she had said, "No, let me remind you what you actually did." And then she lists the things that he had done. This man would not have probably come to the Lord. But when people see that instead of us responding differently or, you know, the natural way where we have to hate our enemies, we have to resent our enemies, when we respond with love and we treat them well, that changes people's hearts. People want to know, what type of God are you following? What is it that is happening in your heart that I should follow? Because that is what God is doing in that very moment. So we become more effective witnesses when we love our enemies. And thirdly, loving our enemies is our response to God's love for us. Loving our enemies is our response to God's love for us. Let me read again verse 43 to 45. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So love your enemies so that you may be children of your Father. In fact, other translations say, because you are the children of your Father, love your enemies. So this is responding to what God has done, you know, in us. Because God has loved us, and therefore we respond by loving other people. But God loved us while we're still his enemies. Romans 5 verse 10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? While we were yet enemies, he died for us. He loved us to the point that he lost his own life. So when you love your enemies, you actually resemble God, who loves his enemies. Love your enemies to show that you're children of your Father in heaven. Love your enemies because you belong to God who loves his enemies. His enemies. And the way he does it is that, you know what? He provides the sun to shine on all people, good and evil. And that's a good thing. And he provides rain on all people. So all people are provided for. He provides, and that's a good thing. He treats them well. Some of you know my story when I had run away from God, and because I was so angry with God that he was my enemy. And not only just in a theological sense, but actually, literally, I hated God. Because God, after I had prayed for certain things to happen in my life, it never happened. So I said, what's good with this Christian thing? Nothing is going on, nothing is happening. So I hated God, and I thought, you know, God disappointed me. I would not listen to any Christian music. I would turn it off. If somebody is talking about Jesus, I don't want to listen to them. And I would hate looking at a church building. I threw away my Bible. And I hated God with a passion. I hated God with a passion. But praise God in his love that while I was still an enemy, he died for me. He died for me. And in that moment when I was lost, in that moment when I really hated him, and even up to now I do not really understand how come he changed my heart that I could begin to love him. It's a gift for me. Gift for me. And because he has done that for me, he is calling me to love my enemy. He's calling me to love my enemy. And when I respond to that love, when I love other people, then guess what? I am taking after my dad, who loved me as an enemy. Who loved me as an enemy. And we are reminded of this when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ to see a God who loves his enemies. Because Jesus Christ, you know, was treated unfairly. Was treated unfairly. He was taken. He was beaten mercilessly. He was stripped naked. And he was nailed to a cross. And while he was on the cross, he knew he was gonna die. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they may know what they do. They not know what they do. Forgive them. Praying for his enemies. God loves his enemies by giving up even his very own life. He forgives them when they don't deserve it. He loves them when they don't deserve it. When they don't deserve it. So in this passage, how do we love our enemies? We pray for our enemies. We pray for our enemies. And one of the things that I found, to be very instrumental personally for me is that even when I'm disappointed, apart from taking a nap, I pray. Does that happen to some of you guys? Like if you're disappointed, take a nap and then you're fine after you wake up? Am I weird? Oh, yeah? Yeah? I'm like that too. You know, if you disappoint me now, I'm just going to go take a nap. Try it. Some of you try it and see. It's great. But you know what? Prayer changes you when you pray for your enemies. If you're disappointed with someone, try praying for them. You will see what it does to you and how you begin to look at them. Because, you know, prayer, when you're praying for them, you're beginning to see that actually they were created in the image of God. Actually, God loves them. Actually, God does love those people. He does. They are a human being. So pray for your enemies, because prayer is just an amazing way of loving other people. An amazing way of loving other people, because in prayer you're actually blessing people. You're blessing people. And this is not the way of like, you know, God, I pray that you deal with my enemies. Deal with my enemies. You know, they shall run with, you know, they shall run in 7 ways. No, this is a way that you're actually being sincere and you're praying for your enemies that God would bless them, that God would treat them right. So pray for your enemies. But also, verse 47 says, and if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I found it interesting that he was talking about greeting that we have to greet our enemies. And what it means is that treat your enemies well. Treat your enemies well. To the people that he was talking to, they would only greet those who belong to their family. They would only greet to those who belong, you know, to this brotherhood or sisterhood. They would not greet you know, Gentiles and people who, you know, who hate God. They would not, because in the greeting, what you are actually saying is that, you know, I wish you prosperity, shalom. And I wish you prosperity. I wish you happiness. Now, who want to wish prosperity and happiness for their enemy? But Jesus Christ says, do it. And this way, what he's saying is that, you know, treat people, you know, as people. Because in a greeting, you actually say, I notice you. I notice you're a human being. Therefore, mulibanji. That's what you do, isn't it? So treat your enemies well. Treat them as your fellow human beings. Now, I have to say that this is not easy to do. This is not easy to do. It's not easy for us to love our enemies. At least for me, I know it's not easy for me to love my enemies. And therefore, we need God's help to help us so that we can love our enemies. Some of you, God is challenging you to start talking to someone or to just start saying hi to someone. Some of you, God is challenging you to start praying for someone. You cannot even begin to think how you can even forgive them. But God is calling you to start praying for someone. For some of you, God is calling you to start treating your employees with dignity. It's the way of loving them. Some of you, God is challenging you to humble yourselves and ask for forgiveness from somebody that you have hurt. That you can go to them and say, please forgive me. I hurt you with my words. Forgive me. Some of you, God is challenging you to start talking to your annoying neighbor and start being kind towards them. If you know they blast that music at 12 midnight and you cannot sleep, but God is calling you to be kind towards them and to love them. And some of you, God is challenging you to stop feeling sorry for yourself because of the hurt that you experienced. And he's calling you that you can experience his love and his grace. And some of you, God is challenging you to stop gossiping because you are hurting other people. But God provides grace for you. Some of you, God is challenging you to repent and experience his grace. And maybe someone is here that you have no relationship with Jesus. You do not have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you came to church this morning because somebody brought you to church this morning. Or you just love the idea of going to church and you love, you know, being with other people. But really, you know, you do not have that personal relationship with God. I want to tell you, you are God's enemy. But guess what? He has grace for you. He has grace for you. And he died for you. And just like me, when I was still God's enemy, he died for me and he loved me. And God loves you. He loves you a lot. And he wants you to have that relationship with him. Only if you put your faith in God, only if you put your trust in him, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. Now, when we talk about love, the reason why I was just thinking that love actually changes us is because sometimes when you express your love can be received or rejected. And sometimes you can, you know, express your love towards an enemy and they reject it. That's all right. That's okay. Because when you're doing that, you know, the Lord is actually changing you. So your consideration should not be on the other person, how they receive it, because we cannot determine how they will receive it. We cannot determine how they will receive it. But that we make a choice, because love is also a choice, it's not just a feeling. But we make a choice that we're going to begin to love people. We're going to begin to treat people right as human beings. We're going to begin to treat them right as human beings. And God, in His own way, we will trust that He will touch them. We will trust in His own way that He will bring them back to Himself so they can know Him. For He loves them a lot. And therefore, we respond to His love. This moment, I just wanted you to kind of just take a moment where you can just come to God and ask for His help, because maybe you may not have any sort of an enemy right now, but it's going to come. It's going to come, and you need God's help to help you to live the way He wants you to live, that you respond to the love that He has for you by loving our enemies, so that you can just kind of like have a moment where you're praying. And if you already have an enemy, I encourage you this moment to pray for them, to pray for that enemy for you. And maybe you don't know how you're going to talk to them. You don't know how you're going to respond. You don't know how you can actually begin to have this sort of conversation. If for some of you, actually, God is calling you to, you know, make a conversation happen, probably this is the time that you can ask for God's help and His grace to help you. So while you're seated, I just wanted to just take a moment to pray, and to pray for your enemy and to pray for God's help to help you love your enemies. And whether you don't have an enemy now, but it's going to come, and allow God to help you to love your enemies. So take a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize that it's not easy for us to love our enemies. And we know that we need Your grace to help us, Lord. And we know it's not just enough for us to have the knowledge that when we love enemies, we're responding to Your love for us. But that, God, we pray that we would obey and trust in Your work, Lord. And we pray for Your Spirit. Your Spirit, God, to help us live the way You want us to live. That when we love our enemies, we recognize Your work in us. We recognize Your love for us. God, I pray for anyone You have challenged this morning. God, I pray for Your help on them, whatever it is that You're calling them to do, so that they respond to Your word. As they are taking that action, I ask for Your Spirit to help them, Lord. To help them to say those words that I forgive You, or I'm sorry, I repent. Whatever it is, whatever action they will take, I pray, God, for Your power to help them, Lord. For we know that Your Spirit does help us in our weaknesses. He helps us in our weaknesses. So we thank You, Lord, for we know You are at work. And You're working in us. Be blessed, Lord Jesus. Amen.